Just a reminder, Jesus is talking primarily to the disciples here. If you turn back to chapter 5, verse 1, Jesus sees the crowds. He goes up on the mountain. When he sits down, his disciples come to him. So the crowds are there, but the disciples are the most immediate audience. This is what Jesus says, Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray that God would help us to understand this passage and to apply it to our own lives, shall we? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for who he is. Thank you for what he's done, what he's doing, what he will do. We thank you for his words that have been recorded and preserved for us and are powered by your Spirit now. Thank you that this word is not a dead thing. It's not an old, irrelevant thing. It is a living, active, meaningful thing, powered by the Creator God himself. Help us to see it as such. And we pray, Father, that by your Spirit you might challenge us, might encourage us, might do everything that you need through your word tonight to just take us that step closer to being like Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, last week we looked, as we thought, at salt. And when we were looking at salt last week, Tim had a packet of peanuts. And that was memorable. That stuck in my head. So what we're going to do tonight is I want us to have a similar thing. I want us to get the image into us as we think about what Jesus is saying here. And the way we're going to do that, really, as we think about this image, I found Tim's structure last week helpful, just straightforward, simple. We're going to do a similar thing tonight. We're simply going to look at this language, just a few short verses, and we're going to look firstly at the statement. What does Jesus say? What does he not say? Then we're going to think about the meaning. What does he mean by what he says? What does he not mean by what he says? And then lastly, we're going to apply it to us. That's really what we're going to do. But firstly, we have the statement. It's very straightforward, isn't it? The statement, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. So I want us to just get that image into our heads. So firstly, we need to start with some darkness. First, we need to get the image of darkness. I'm going to get a light back here. This is fun. You're going to see me disappear for a minute. No, you're not. Let's start with the image of darkness. We've got the image of darkness in our heads. Now, if I've given you a light, I'd like you to turn it on right now, please. This is a bit of the image that we're getting. Sorry for the other lights that I can't turn off. We didn't want to be pitch black. People would come in and think we were a cult. This is the image that we're given, aren't we? You are the light of the world. You, believers in the Lord Jesus, are the light of the world. It's a dark world, and you are the light. But what Jesus is saying here, you're not going to have to do this all evening, don't worry, you're not going to have to hold it there. But what I want us to see here is that actually Jesus is not just talking to one person, he's talking to the group of disciples together. So what we're going to do tonight is we're not just going to apply this to each of us as individuals. We're also going to apply this to us as a church. So if you've got a lamp, would you mind just bringing it forward and just putting it on the table here for me, please? I'll move these glasses out of the way. I just want you just to remember this image. We'll get all the lights back on and you can feel comfortable again in a moment. But for a moment, you're going to have to put up with my weirdness. Jesus talking to the group of disciples, and he addresses them as a group, and he says, you, plural, are the light of the world. You, the church of the Lord Jesus, are the light of the world. The world is a dark place, and you are the light. So let your light shine. Let your light shine. Thank you. We can have the lights back on now. I just want you to remember that. Have that image in your head. I wonder if you've ever been out in a plane at night. I remember really clearly one time when I was flying with my family from Africa back to the UK. And we were flying across the Mediterranean Ocean, sort of across ways. So it was just dark. And everyone else was asleep. This was back in the days when you didn't have movies on planes. And everyone else was asleep, and I couldn't sleep. And I was sat next to the window, and I was just sort of staring out the window. And we were going over the Mediterranean Ocean, and it didn't really matter what we were going over. Everything's just dark. Whether it was sea, whether it was mountain, whether it was forest, it didn't matter, because it was just completely black. You couldn't see anything. And then it started to peak, and you saw the Italian coast. And the only reason you knew it was the coastline was because of the lights in the city. And because of the lights around the city, in the cities around the coastline, you could see where the sea ended and where the land began. I wonder if you've ever had an image like that, if you've ever seen anything like that. Or ever been out somewhere where you've been in the countryside, maybe, and there's been one piercing light. Maybe you've been out on a country ramble at night and a car has come over the hill and those floodlights have just transformed the landscape. We know the difference between darkness and light, and we know, we've just seen the impact that light has in the darkness. What we're really seeing here is it's all about visibility. Visibility is what it's really about. Apparently, I was looking this up, and it sounds crazy, so maybe I need to check my facts, maybe you can look it up on it more. But apparently, you can see a flickering candle. The only reason you can't see a flickering candle further than sort of several miles away is because of the curvature of the Earth. If it was flat and there was no other light pollution, you'd be able to see it from a distance of 30 miles away. Even a cigarette light, the end of a cigarette light, you can see a good 3 miles away on a really clear sort of dark night when there's no other pollution. So Jesus says here, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. This light imagery is all about visibility. You can't hide this. This is something that is public, that is seen, that is obvious to everybody. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. It's not guerrilla tactics. It's not hiding away in a cave, sniping from cover. It's up on a hill. Everybody can see it. That's the image that we get. And it would have kind of been even more impactful, I think, in this era, because this era, there's no street lights, there's no electricity. If you're out in the countryside and you're walking along a dark road, the city up on the hill is the only light for miles and miles and miles around. It definitely cannot be hidden. You're not going to miss it. And Jesus says here, this light imagery is really, it's all about visibility. That's why verse 15, well, we talked about a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And then verse 15, he really emphasizes this, doesn't he? Verse 15, a city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. First thing in the morning when I wake up, well, when Marlo wakes me up, first thing in the morning, it's usually still dark. And so I stumble out of bed and I go through into his room and the first thing I do is I turn the light on, turn the little lamp on so I can see what I'm doing. I can see where he is, I can reach down, I can pick him up, I can get him out of his sleeping bag, change his nappy, everything that needs to be done. What I don't do is go in, turn the lamp on, then cover it up, then fumble around in the dark, accidentally poke Marlo in the eyes. I'm trying to figure out where in the cot he is. It's an obvious point, isn't it? But Jesus takes the time to say something obvious here. So we shouldn't skip past it. Nobody lights a lamp and then just covers it up with a basket. Nobody turns on a lamp and then covers it up with a sheet. It's all to do with being able to see. It's all to do with visibility. So we've got that picture in our heads. Visibility, clear, obvious, public. And then Jesus takes it to verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Jesus lands the imagery in this command. Let your light shine before others. So what's he talking about here? We've got the image, but what's the meaning? What does Jesus mean by this? How would the disciples have understood this image? Jesus tells them to let their light shine before others. They're the most immediate audience. and for us as Christians following on after in the church that the disciples founded, how do we might understand that? What does it mean to let your light shine like this? Makes you think of that song, doesn't it? That little, apparently it's a hymn. I'll let you decide whether it is a hymn or not. Have you ever heard that little song that little kids sing with a candle? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Yeah, okay, good. Okay, good. There's not a solo there. Good, yeah, you have heard of it. Yeah, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Isn't it sweet? Isn't it nice? And that image of letting the light shine is something that we're familiar with. It's something that the society is very happy to say, yeah, that's nice, you know, be yourself. Whatever it is, whatever that light is, you know, just go for it. Let it be seen by everybody. Don't hold back. And, I looked up this song because I was thinking of letting your light shine. So I looked it up and the lyrics say this. They say, now some say, I'm not going to sing it because I don't know how it goes at this point, and also because you wouldn't want that. But now some say you got to run and hide, but we say there's no place to hide. And some say let others decide, but we say let the people decide. Some say the time's not right, but we say the time's just right. Just being contrarian at this point, aren't they? If there's a dark corner in our land, you got to let your little light shine. People love that. People love that, don't they? We like to get little kids holding a candle to sing that. But what's the light? Maybe we don't want to let the light shine. If the light's a bad thing, actually we want the opposite, don't we? So what's the light? Everything matters. Everything hangs on what that light actually is. Jesus has said, let your light shine here. Let your light shine before others. But what is that light? Is it just yourself? Be yourself? I think in our society now, if somebody just took that verse now and they said, Jesus says, let your light shine, they'd be like, yeah, I love Jesus. That's great. I'm going to do that today. I'm going to do that this week. Let my light shine. I'm not going to be afraid to tell people what I think. I'm going to be the real me. I'm going to be unapologetic. I'm going to be brave. What is the light here that we should let shine? Well, we actually have a direction for it, don't we? In verse 16. Verse 16, let your light shine so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Whatever this light is, whatever it is for us to let our light shine as Christians, is to result not in our own glory, but in glory going to God. And as Jesus speaks to his disciples and he uses this image of being a light, of shining a light, it's all for the sake of those who are around the disciples, isn't it? Seeing God for who he really is, realizing what God is doing, what God is like, praising him. So here in the text, we're already given a bit of a pointer. What does it mean to let our light shine? What is that light? Well, we're given a bit of a pointer here that actually it's gonna take people to God. It's not going to result in our glory. It's going to lead to God's glory. So we're given that already. But where else in Matthew's gospel have we seen the image of light? Where else can we go in the Bible and in Matthew's gospel? If we were reading through Matthew's gospel, which we are, when was the last time we saw light used? And what did it mean? Well, flick back over the page to chapter 4, verse 16. This is talking about Jesus here. This is the last time we see light in Matthew's gospel. Chapter 4, verse 16, and it's talking about when Jesus has just begun his ministry. It says this in chapter 4, verse 16, the people dwelling in darkness, it's a quote from the Old Testament, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region of shadow of and the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. This is talking about Jesus. And not just the person of Jesus, but the message of Jesus as well. Because have a look at verse 17. Immediately what happens after that is, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So in Matthew's gospel up until now, light has been Jesus and the message that Jesus brings. It's a message about Jesus, and it is himself, Jesus. Here now, Jesus says to the disciples, let your light shine. So we start to think, okay, what does he mean by this? And we read through this, we say, well, whatever it is, it's leading to God's glory, and it's massively tied to Jesus and his message. And if we take it further in the Bible, if we go to John chapter 1, we're not going to turn to it now, but John chapter 1, again and again, Jesus is talked about as the light. Again and again in John chapter 1, Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. John the Baptist comes. He himself was not the light, but he was there to point to the light. Jesus is the light. Again and again and again. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says this: God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." We've been seeing this in Genesis. God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so let's piece all those things together. We've got something that results in God being glorified. We've got something that is massively tied to the person and to the message of Jesus. And it is something that has come from God in the first place. So what we're talking about here is we're talking about our faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that has come from God, that is all about Jesus, that is powered by Jesus, that is itself Jesus as we are made one with Jesus. We've been seeing that in Ephesians again and again, haven't we? And it's something that results in God's glory. This is our Christian faith. It comes from God. It's all about him. That's what we're talking about. We have this reminder in Hebrews 12, verse 2, don't we, when it talks about our faith, and it says Jesus is the founder and perfecter of our faith. That's what we're talking about here. This light is our faith in the Lord Jesus, our faith in the gospel. It's the truth about Jesus, the message of Jesus, and the person of Jesus in the Spirit living in us. And what Jesus is saying here is he's saying that this faith in him has to be a visible thing to be a real thing. It has to be a visible thing to be a real thing. Like a city on a hill, it cannot be hidden, is what a real faith in the Lord Jesus is like. If we're talking about one person scattered amongst the community, or we're talking about a group of Christians together in a church community, it needs to be visible. So that's the statement. That's the meaning, at least most of it. Chat about it more. And so lastly, we're just going to come to the application. And I just want to do that by asking us two questions. Firstly, how visible is our faith? We've got this image of light shining in the darkness, and when light shines in the darkness, everybody can see it. And we've tied that to what Jesus says, the light being our faith. And now we have to ask ourselves the question, well, how visible is our faith to those around us? Jesus says here, people do not light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. Yet all too often we can find it easy, can't we, to keep our faith kind of under wraps. My parents-in-law have, probably lots of you do as well, but I don't. So my parents-in-law have dimmer switches in two of their rooms, maybe more. But you know how dimmer switches work. You can turn the lights on and you can choose the brightness at which the light shines. You can make them really, really bright if you need to be looking for a pin that you dropped on the floor or something. And then if you want it to be a bit more cozy and you've got the fire going and the lamps and you want to be able to see the Christmas tree lights, whatever, you dim it down and it gets all kind of golden. And it's really nice. And there's a big extreme between them being full blast and them being really low. And if you put them on when it wasn't massively dark outside, you wouldn't really know the lights were on unless you got up close. And you got up to the little bulb and you saw the little filamenty bit glowing and you'd be like, oh yeah, they're on. But you know what? We treat our faith like that, don't we? Like there's a dimmer switch on it. Don't we? There's times when we're blazing at Word Alive. How easy is it for your faith bulb to be virtually popping because it's shining so bright? When you're at Contagious, how easy is it for your faith to be super visible? When you're at a conference, when you're here on a Sunday evening or a Sunday morning, or you're meeting up with Christian friends at another time and it's glowing and it's shining and it's so bright. And then in other situations, the dimmer is way, way down. When we're spending time with family members that are just sick of hearing about God. And so we just tone the whole thing down. Or you're spending time with friends at school and you've been listening to Christian music maybe on your way to school, and as soon as you take your headphones out and you talk to that first person you see, the dimmer switch goes way down. It's almost like there's a magic thing that happens as you step across the threshold of school, and you were bright before, you were thinking about Christ before, and then the dimmer switch goes way down. In your neighborhood, those that are difficult, those that you just find are always just rubbing you up the wrong way. And maybe there's not a subconscious, I'm going to hide the way I am with them. I'm not going to tell them what I really believe. But just because of the way they get to you, you don't even realize it, but your dimmer switch goes all the way down. And you think you're fine, but actually, no. Let this challenge us. Think about your everyday opinions, your everyday friendships. Think about the way you spend your money. Think about the way you treat your work, your career, your family, your relationships, or your dreams about future relationships. How close would someone need to get to your life to see whether the light was on or not? How close would they need to get before they could see, oh wait, I think maybe this person's a Christian. Maybe this person trusts in Jesus some way. When Jesus talks about this light here, there's no fluctuations, are there? It's just on, like my lights at home when they work. Just on. It's either off or it's on. Visible, public, clear. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Because of your faith in the Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others. Those of you that have jobs now where you manage a team and you have people working under you, I want you to picture the people that you work on, that work under you. Or if you don't have people that work under you, people that work around you. How awesome would it be if somebody in your team was moving on in their career and was going to a new workplace, and because of you, as they traveled, they thought, I really hope my new boss is a Christian. It'd be amazing if my new boss was a Christian. Because of the time they've had with you, they know Christians make the best bosses. I don't know how, I don't know why. Maybe in the future they will find out. But because of you, they hope their next boss is a Christian. They hope their next work colleague is a Christian. If you're at school, imagine this. End of the year comes round. Imagine your least favorite teacher. And they're getting ready for September. They're getting ready for a whole new load of students. And they know, you know, new September comes round, new year comes round, new load of students. Imagine that teacher prepping her class or his class and thinking, I don't know who I'm going to get in my class this year, but I really hope I have someone that follows Jesus. I don't know why, but there's something about people that are Christians that make the classroom better. Did it ever occur to you, POW guys, that you can be a witness to your teachers in just how you do your work, how you are in the classroom? Imagine your neighbor is moving away, moving to a new city and a new place, and you know, all the packing, stressful thing, isn't it, packing up your house. They pack up everything, they say goodbye, they get to their new place after however long the journey is, they unpack everything, they make a cup of tea, sit on the sofa, and they say, oh, I should go knock on the neighbor's door and just introduce myself. And as they're walking, they think, be nice if they were Christian, because Christians make the best neighbors. Every moment we're given an opportunity to have that light in the midst of the darkness and be distinct and be different and to shine that light in the area around us. We saw last week, didn't we, looking at salt, that we are made to be different as Christians. And that shouldn't scare us, that should encourage us, that should embolden us. Don't be afraid to be different. Embrace that. We've thought about the individual, but what about for us as a church? Now, firstly, that, you know, we have to ask ourselves that question as individuals, at school, at work, in your neighborhoods, in your friendship groups. How visible is your faith? Have you been applying the dimmer switch? But let's think about the church, because Jesus talks about disciples here. He talks to the disciples. In a country where there's a lot of church buildings, not as many churches, what do people say about Gunnersbury? We've got an opportunity to find out a little bit more, actually, haven't we, with the building project. Tim was talking to a couple of neighbors just recently, just a few days ago, weren't you, Tim? And, you know, what do you think they think about us? What do you think they know about us? And it raises questions, doesn't it? What does it look like for a church like us that love Jesus, love the Jesus of the Bible, not an imagined one that kind of is a self-help Jesus, but the Jesus of the Bible? We love him. We love his word. What does it look like for us to be visible in our community? Is it about online presence? Is it about what the doors look like during the service, about them being open and closed? Is it about how often those doors are open and closed? I don't know, but we should be asking the question. What does it look like for us as a church community to be visible? How visible is our faith as a church community? Our building, we know how visible that is. But that's not the faith. That's just the building. How visible is our faith in the community? So, how visible is our faith as individuals, as a church? And lastly, as we finish up, who's getting the glory for our faith? Who's getting the glory? There's such an important reminder in verse 16 that our faith has a reason. It has a direction. We so often make our faith about ourselves. We so often make it about our choices, about our life choices, about our decisions in the past. But what does this verse say about why you are a Christian right now? In your workplace right now, if somebody asked you, I wonder what you'd say. Why are you a Christian? If someone said that at school, why are you a Christian right now? Why are you a Christian in your workplace right now? Why are you a Christian in that flat with those people right now? What's the purpose behind that? Is it because you got lucky? Is it because you figured out a code that no one else could figure out? What does verse 16 say? So that God might be glorified. Those lights out in the community, this bunch of lights here in Chiswick, we're here so that God might be glorified. We're not here that Gunnersbury might be glorified or people might think the lifestyle is kind of a good thing. Christians seem to be healthy or something. We're here for the glory of God. That's our whole purpose. And so please don't ever settle for people just thinking that you're nice. I met a Christian once. He was nice. No one gets saved by nice. Who ends up with the glory if that's all they know about you? Where does it end? It ends with us, doesn't it? You know, this is something that we need to really, as a church, we need to challenge ourselves on when things are going well. When there are ministries that are going well here at church and people notice that. Now, sometimes that happens with PAL. You have people come past at the light party. You have people come past. Something's happening. Something's interesting. Are we happy just to be like, yeah, we like the fact that Gunnersbury is a place that's bumping on Friday nights? That's not good enough. Where does the glory end? It ends with us, doesn't it? That's not what we want. There has to be something more. So the other day when we had the light party, we filled this up with ball pool balls. It's great. Had a baptism in it the week before, Donald. And then the next week we filled it up with plastic balls and the kids threw themselves in it. It's great. And when the lady came off to drop off all the balls, she was dropping it off in there and she loved it. She wanted it for her website, so she took a little photo. And I said to her afterwards, I just said, oh, this time last week somebody was being baptized in this pool. What do you mean? Oh, well, somebody came to faith, decided they want to live for Jesus, and didn't have it plastic balls in there, we had water, and they went down, and they came back up again. And she didn't really want to know much more about it. But I wanted her to know, we're not just fun. We're not just fun. It's so tempting with PAL to just be fun, because the world applauds fun. But there's a reason why on our flyers, on our communication, on whatever is visible to the society around us, God needs to be there. Jesus needs to be there. It needs to be not ending up with our glory, but God's glory. The gospel needs to be in there. And so just think about, again, those situations where you think about, you know, being a boss that's a Christian. Being a Christian boss, being a Christian colleague. Not a colleague that's a Christian, but a Christian colleague. Being a blessing in that. There's lots to be said for just being good and for people thinking Christians are good and Christians have decency and Christians, but there needs to be something of Jesus in there. How awesome would it be if people went away thinking, yeah, my boss, he was a Christian. And I don't know what it is, but there's something about Jesus is part of that. He was always honest. He was always decent. He always had time for people. He never lost his rag with people. And I remember him saying something once, and there was something to do with Jesus. That's all it takes for it to shift on from him or her to something else, to Jesus, to something meaningful, to something that could save them. Or school. In how you live and how you are a witness, are you happy just to be, I'm a Christian and people like me? Or is it, I'm a Christian because of what Jesus has done? I make an effort. I try to behave myself in class because. Is there a reason behind it? And do you ever share that? Wouldn't it be awesome if that neighbor picture, your neighbor moves away and says, I'd love it if my next neighbor was a Christian. And I don't know why, but it has something to do with the Bible. They loved the Bible. They had Bibles everywhere in their house. There was always one open on the table. I don't know what it is about the Bible, but it's got something to do with why this person was a good neighbor. It doesn't take much to shift the witness on from yourself to Christ, to God. So just stop and ask yourself as an individual, and we should stop to ask ourselves as a church, who gets the glory when somebody notices that you are different? Don't just sell yet another lifestyle in a long list of lifestyles that the world is out there offering. Are we trying to make sure the conversation doesn't end with us and our efforts and our good ideas, but it's pointing on to Jesus? And we don't do this because, you know, we're good people. We don't just do that because, you know, good people can't save anyone. Good people in the world's eyes doesn't do any good, really. Only Jesus, only a saving faith in him can save anyone. And it's only because of Jesus that we have that faith in the first place. It's only because of his grace to us that we have any light to shine. And so now, everything that we do, whether it's in the tiny details when we're on our own, or in the big details when we're together, these lights shine for him. I just want you to just remember that moment at the beginning when all the lights went out. I want you to think about where you're going to be this week. See yourself maybe as a light in isolation with a lot of darkness around. What's going to make you tempted to reach for the dimmer switch? How visible is your faith going to be this week? And then coming together here as a church group, as a community that love the Lord Jesus, that want to see him glorified. How are we being visible in our community? Let's chat about these things afterwards. Let's challenge each other. Let's make sure the doors as much as possible, not physically, maybe physically, but let's make sure those doors are wide open. What does it look like for us to do that? What does it look like for us as a church community to shine this light that has come from God, that results in God's glory being shone as brightly as possible? Jesus says it, doesn't he? You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Let's pray. Father, simply help us with this. We recognize our own weakness, our own failings in this so often. Help us to be visible followers of the Lord Jesus, that delight in being distinct for him, that aren't afraid to be different for his glory and because of what he's done for us. Help us to be a blessing to people in just the way we live alongside them. But we really, really pray, Father, that the conversation wouldn't just end with our good behavior, but it would take people back to the Lord Jesus so that they might come to a saving faith in them, in him themselves, and so that you might truly be glorified. Help us with this, we pray, as well as we think about as a church. Help us to make decisions that click with this, that go in line with this. Help us to be a church that's not just a little pocket preaching in isolation or sort of just, I don't know, just speaking into a vacuum where no one can hear us. Help us to know what it looks like to be a visible presence, even if it means making enemies, Father. Help us to be visibly faithful to the Lord Jesus so that we might be obedient to you. If we pray in your name, Lord, amen.